Opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. "I never travel without my box," sings King Caspar in my favorite aria from Ananti's Amal in The Night Visitors. "With one lapis lazuli against quart and fever, one small jasper to help you find water, one small topaz to soothe your eyes, the king seems prepared for every eventuality, likely or not." Manotti's magi, laden with tempting gifts, are nearing the end of their trek. 2 years ago, the Feast of the Epiphany found me instead just beginning a journey. I left behind family and work to spend 5 weeks in a retreat house on the coast of Massachusetts, making the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. I would spend 30 days in silence and prayer. Packing turned out to be a spiritual exercise in itself. What would I need for 30 days in silence in the middle of winter on the Atlantic coast, living in a room just big enough for a single bed and with only a single drawer for storage, besides my snow boots and a flashlight for ice storms, that is? I've lived with less, in fact. I've lived in one room with a mattress on the floor, two bricks and a board for my shelf, my clothes folded into a milk crate. I've spent a summer in the mountains of Mexico, where water was pumped by hand and the plumbing was outside. Still, I found it hard to be a minimalist again, in a culture where value packs, selection, specialized tools, and on-demand rule the day. There's a discipline to doing with much less that I had to relearn. First and foremost, you use what is to hand, regardless of whether it is precisely what you want. Even harder for me, you use what is handed to you. It's a challenge to be dependent when you are the one so often depended on by your family and your students to meet the needs of the moment. I was tempted by my own version of King Caspar's just-in-case box. I didn't find the jewels as alluring as I did the protection against the potential trials and difficulties they represented. Should I have tucked in a few bags of chamomile tea, just in case I might want a soothing cup one afternoon? If I was bringing my drawing pens, should I have thrown in a couple of extra, just in case I ran out of ink? Each of these what-ifs was small, but taken together, I would have required at least one extra camel to cart it all eastward. The real issue was not so much the physical constraints of my Mini Cooper, but spiritual. I didn't want to cushion myself so well that God could not get in. I didn't want to be so prepared that my fundamental dependence on God for my every breath was obscured by extra pens and tea bags. So I looked to the Magi, also on the road, in hopes of an encounter with God. Although St. Matthew doesn't put names to the Magi, let alone report on the contents of their saddlebags, he does say that they bore gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh for the infant king. Half a millennium later, St. Gregory the Great would read these traditional treasures as surrogates for the gifts all of us should carry on our pilgrimage: the gold of wisdom, the incense of prayer, and the myrrh of self-denial. To offer myrrh, he says, is to employ the spice of self-restraint to keep this earthly body of ours from decomposition through decadence. In the end, I took Gregory's advice to heart. I prayerfully, and I hoped wisely, sprinkled my suitcase not with comforts and precautions, but with empty spaces. I trusted that what I needed would be provided. I went to seek God, as the beloved sings in the Song of Songs, with the myrrh of self-denial dripping from my hands, my empty hands.